as I am fond of telling every environmental commissioner here in Connecticut, my very first For the People, these almost 33 years ago, featured the commissioner then of the Connecticut DEP. I'm so pleased we're going to continue that tradition with Katie Dykes, our current commissioner of the Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection. In February of last year, DEEP launched the 20 by 26 initiative, setting 16 performance targets to achieve by the end of 2026 and asking for 4 additional goals from stakeholders that are going to improve the transparency, predictability, and efficiency of DEEP programs. We're going to talk all about that and a few other really cool things. Commissioner Dykes, thanks. Welcome to the program.
John, thanks so much for having me.
here we are, winter season. The people who know what crown jewels Connecticut's DEEP and other parks are to them 12 months a year, they can kind of turn off the radio and go get a cup of coffee. Let's bring a bunch of other people out to Connecticut State facilities. There's a lot to do at Connecticut parks, including a big winter festival coming up.
There is one of my favorite events that we get to host every year together with the city of Torrington is our winter festival. It's held this year. It'll be February 1st, and it's at Burr Pond State Park up there in Torrington from 10 to 3. One of the best kept secrets of DEEP is our No Child Left Inside program, where we have talented and passionate DEEP staff who work with volunteers and others in the community to provide really fun activities for kids and families to get outdoors. So you can just show up with your hat and mittens on, go out on the ice and enjoy some ice fishing. We'll have gear already set up, so you can experience that if you've never tried it before. We'll have lots of other fun activities going on where you can learn to do marshmallow roasting and see ice sculptures and search and rescue dogs and a whole lot of other demonstrations. We have amazing community partners who help us put this event on every year. And it's just a great way to showcase that Connecticut has wonderful outdoor recreation opportunities available every season of the year. So just because it's chilly outside doesn't mean you can't go out and get some sunshine and enjoy some fun. And so we hope we'll be able to see a lot of people come and join us at the Winter Festival.
Yeah, and looking forward at the forecast, at least as we are recording this on Friday and broadcasting it on January 12th. It still looks like we're going to be mostly seeing brown grass and surface and not a lot of snow. Plenty of time to go out to one of Connecticut's great parks for a walk or a hike, or maybe even do some fishing elsewhere as well. That brings me to the subject of ice. We're going to talk about two elements of ice. The first is being safe if you're out on it, whether you're ice fishing, ice skating, or just kind of exploring that different slippery kind of fun surface.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is obviously with climate change, you know, our winters are changing. But we still are experiencing some of that cold weather that that brings us the traditional, you know, New England frozen pond opportunities to get out and do some fishing or skating or enjoy time on the ice. So it's really important for folks to know how, you know, about ice safety. You generally, I mean, we've had a steady period of cold weather here recently, so that means the possibilities for getting out on the ice are a little better than they were a few weeks ago. You know, you need a minimum of 4 inches of new clear ice before a person should attempt standing on it. And, you know, ice is never 100% safe. There's a lot of factors that go into the strength of ice. You can't really tell the strength just by its appearance, you know. So we encourage anyone who's considering getting on the ice this winter to be careful and check out some of our ice safety tips that are up on DEEP's website. That's portal.cte.gov/deep and search ice safety, and you can learn a whole bunch about, you know, ice thickness and how it freezes and when it, what are some guidelines for when it can be safe to get out on the ice.
The DEEP website also features a raft of information for individuals who want to try to take the best care of Connecticut's environment and be mindful of that, even though they have to deal with the kind of ice that may crop up on their stairs, walkways, driveways, and roadways. I know that you recently just put out a message asking folks to be extra mindful about both the quantity and type of chemicals that they're using for ice melting.
You bet. So this is a core part of DEEP's mission is education. We know, and so we're excited to bring resources and information to the public to help people understand the best ways that they can, you know, address safety issues like ice and snow removal, but in a way that minimizes impacts to the environment. You know, elevated salt concentrations do have an impact. They can strip essential nutrients from the soil that are necessary for plant growth. They can impact, you know, organisms that live in our freshwater streams, and they can even impact drinking water at elevated levels. And, you know, that's an issue. We have a lot of residents in our state who rely on wells, private wells for drinking water. Mm-hmm. So that's why we took some extra steps to put up more information on our website recently about best practices for salt application, whether it's on roadways or sidewalks or parking lots, to help balance public safety with protecting the environment. There's those FAQs are again located on our DEEP website. You just search road salt FAQs, and that will take you to this new page that we hope lots of folks will get some benefit from.
Very good. Well, as we mentioned earlier in the introduction, the 20 by 26 initiative builds on DEEP's previously and highly successful 20 by 20 initiative, which you talked about on this program over these few years back. Recently, the first update on the 20 by 26 initiative has been released. So roll us back to that transition between 20 by 20 and 20 by 26, and tell us how the earlier was able to, you know, sort of fortify and give great direction and inform the 20 by 26 program.
Sure thing. Well, you know, there's a lot of talk lately and enthusiasm about permitting reform, how to make, cut down on red tape and eliminate, you know, these government decision-making processes that can contribute to slowing down, projects and infrastructure development and so on. And I like to say that we've been working on permitting reform at DEEP before it was cool. Back in 2019, when I started as the DEEP commissioner, this is one of the first things that I launched was this effort across our whole agency to make our processes work better. And you might say, why would the environment commissioner be the one, you know, really pushing for this reform? And that's because as someone who cares deeply about sustainability and environmental protection, when our processes don't work efficiently, they're not, they may be holding back economic growth and good projects from moving forward. And that also can mean, that they're not effectively addressing pollution and achieving our environmental conservation and protection objectives. One great example of that is the Transfer Act. This is the top priority goal of our current initiative around process improvement. We want to replace this very outdated law that has been governing the cleanup of contamination on properties around Connecticut. It's really outdated. It's not working to motivate property owners to clean up their sites, and that means a lot of communities, especially some of our cities, are burdened with abandoned factories and brownfields that are just sitting there with a lot of pollution. These are sites that could host, you know, new job creating investments and return the vibrancy of our urban centers. And so we are working hard. Goal number one of our 20 goals that we're working to achieve by 2026 is to replace the Transfer Act with a new regulation that modernizes our cleanup framework to bring it in line with what 48 other states are doing that works more effectively with property owners to help motivate them to clean up their properties and do so in a more comprehensive way. And so I'm excited that we're on track with that goal. Our we're planning to deliver that regulation to the legislature in just a few weeks, and hopefully that will mean by the time we hit June of this year, we will be able to say that we've achieved our first goal and we're on track to sunset that outdated program and replace it with something that will be better for economic growth and for the environment. But that's just one of, you know, many goals that we have set. One I know that I'm particularly proud of, I think that's had an impact way beyond what we anticipated, was the goal to establish a concierge service that the public and permit applicants and stakeholders would be able to take advantage of as a sort of a someone who can be, you know, our concierge is intended to be a front door, a friendly front door, where anyone who has an application for a permit pending with DEEP can get information through the concierge on what's the status of the permit. They can help to facilitate if there's any issues that are coming up that are slowing down reviews. And our concierge also is a great place to start if you think you might need a permit from DEEP, because they help you navigate the different offices within DEEP that may have permitting requirements that apply to your project. Mm-hmm. So this has been really one of the easiest things that we've set up as part of this initiative. We dedicated a few staff to serve in this function. You can just email deep.concierge@ct.gov. And let them know about a project that you have or a permit that you're waiting on to be able to take advantage of this service. It's just been really transformative.
Mm. One of the things we've been talking about here on For the People with the Valley Council of Governments is the Kinneytown Dam Project and dam safety permits, and dam safety in and of itself has been something that's been weighing on the mind of both you and your colleagues at the DEEP. We have seen some potential for issues with dam safety here in Connecticut. Tell us about that goal 18 of the 20 by 26 initiative.
Well, great question. It's been about a year now since we were responding to damage to a privately owned dam, the Fitchville Dam in Basra, that required the evacuation of about 500 people from that community. So that really inspired us to put modernizing dam safety regulations as one of our process improvement goals. Connecticut has the highest number of dams per river miles in the country. We have over 4,800 dams in our state, so that really sets us apart. And many of those dams are privately owned, and they may, you know, serve an important role for water supply, recreation, energy production, and so on. But some dams no longer serve the purpose for which they were designed, and the owners of those dams may be actively seeking to remove them. We wanted to streamline the process for dam owners that want to pursue removal to make it easier for them to do so. And we're doing that as part of this goal by expanding the eligibility to use a certain kind of general permit, a dam safety general permit, to make it easier to navigate that process.
Taking it one step further down the goal tote board to number 19 actually is pretty exciting for folks to know, because it's putting DEEP right into their own neighborhoods, in a manner of speaking.
Absolutely. And in fact, this is really timely because we're achieving a milestone with that goal. This is a goal to establish community resource hubs This would be a physical location in communities, particularly environmental justice and distressed communities, where residents who are disproportionately impacted by environmental pollution because of where they live can come to a physical location and get ready access to information about the different programs and benefits, rebates, and services that DEEP offers. Too often, because of a lack of money or time or transportation resources or access to information, residents may not be aware of the enormous variety of programs that DEEP offers. Everything from rebates and incentives to help make your utility bills more affordable, or getting access to workforce opportunities, such as coming to work in one of our state parks. So we want to close that gap and help more communities learn what DEEP has to offer by having a physical presence in communities through these community resource hubs. So we've just we're launching a request for qualifications from nonprofits and others who can provide that kind of an interface, that kind of a hub service. And we think this will help us better connect residents with the programs that that DEEP is privileged to implement. So I'm really excited about that goal moving forward.
Yeah. And in the last few minutes that we have with you, Commissioner Dykes, let's wind it all the way back to goal four, because no effort to help make Connecticut's and our Northeast and global environment improved can come without the enforcement of environmental regulations. And that goal in the 20 by 26 initiative to strengthen enforcement resources has also got to be something that you're really, really fired up about.
That's right. So our goal at DEEP is, of course, compliance. You know, we are charged with implementing different limits on pollution by the legislature, and we do everything that we can to help through our permitting process and work with entities that are subject to these kinds of pollution limits to make sure that they know how to stay in compliance. But unfortunately, we do have those situations where a permitted entity is not in compliance, and that's where we have to take enforcement action. And it's really important that communities have transparent information to know where there are those situations of noncompliance. And so that's something that we're doing to ensure that we can update our enforcement response policy, publish a list of significant industrial users who are out of compliance for wastewater discharges, which is one we hear about frequently from communities, and initiate enforcement mapping efforts for transparency. So our goal is to, again, not just do our job in terms of enforcement, but also to make sure that the public, you know, folks living particularly in proximity to these facilities are aware of the compliance track record for, you know, entities nearby.
Great.
It's part of our overall goal, of course. We want to make our permitting process more efficient. We have over 125 different types of permits that DEEP issues. We've set timeframes so that applicants know, you know, have a sense of how long it'll take to get a permit. We've cut through our backlog of permit applications that were older than 3 years that were sitting, you know, at DEEP. We cut that by 65%. We're doing extraordinary work to make the permitting process more effective. We're providing more resources for entities with permits so that they can stay in compliance. But unfortunately, in those situations where folks exceed their permit limits, we are taking that very seriously and now doing even more to involve the public.
Very good. And in the last minute that we have with you, when folks are traveling around the country and going to state and national parks, they're seeing a lot of branding above and beyond that of the state or park that they're in. And I know you and I in previous conversations have talked about the introduction of various partnerships with private entities in state parks. Are folks in Connecticut going to start seeing more of these public-private partnerships when they go to Connecticut DEP facilities?
Yes. So we have launched a new Office of Outdoor Experiences And we are eager to partner more with small business owners and service providers to expand on the kinds of recreation opportunities that people can enjoy when they come to a state park. So we launched an RFP last year. We got some great responses. We were able to work with concessionaires who are offering, for example, canoe rentals at some of our popular lakes at our state parks, for example. I'm hopeful in the future we'll be able to find some partners who might want to offer some glamping opportunities at some of our campgrounds, or even look at refurbishing some of the beautiful historic facilities that we have to offer even more services around food service or wedding hosting and those types of things. But it builds on a strong foundation of wonderful state parks that we're able to steward on behalf of the people of Connecticut. We have some beautiful resources from the mountains to the coast. And we recently refurbished our website. So ctparks.com. If you haven't visited a state park lately, check it out. Our new website helps you find a park and with that will be best for your interests and activities that you're seeking out. So we're thrilled about that.
Connecticut DEP Commissioner Katie Dykes continuing the tradition of being a great partner here to the award-winning For the People, helping us unpack just a few of the 20 by 26 goals that our Connecticut General Assembly will be looking at in just a few weeks. Commissioner Dykes, thank you once again for all your time this morning, and we hope to see you soon. Thank you.